Scripture reading this morning will be from Matthew chapter 1 and then from Luke chapter 2. So if you're willing and able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Matthew 1, starting in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took her as his wife, and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. And then on to Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And it came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. And it came about, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds began saying to one another, Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came in haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. This ends the reading of God's Word. Please be seated. Please pray with me. Oh Lord God, thank you so much. Thank you, Lord, for these accounts of the birth of Christ. Lord, it is truly amazing what you have done. Lord, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for sending your Son. We thank you for sending us a Savior. Lord, we are sinful people who desperately need a Savior. Lord, we ask that you would teach us now as we look at your word. Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes and help us to understand. Help us, Lord, to see the glorious truth in the birth of Christ. Please teach us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Christmas is a wonderful time of the year. Some have even said it is the most wonderful time of the year. And Christmas is truly wonderful. You have all the decorations, all the special holiday foods, you have the lights and all the get-togethers with friends and family. Christmas really is wonderful. But in many ways, Christmas is a strange and confusing holiday. You know, if you look at the world around you, you will see that Christmas is a holiday where both glorious realities are celebrated along with fantasy fairy tales. Christmas in America is somewhat of a confusing whirlwind of all of these glorious realities and all of these fantasy fairy tales, all mixed up, all celebrated in this holiday. And it's confusing. You have baby Jesus, and you have Santa Claus. You have angels, and you have flying reindeer. You have the gift of God sending his son, and you have all the pile of presents underneath the trees. You have the miracles of a virgin giving birth. And you have the crazy stories of some man in a red suit flying all over the world, going down chimneys to deliver presents. Christmas is full of glorious realities as well as fantasy fairy tales. Now, while there are many, many people who celebrate Christmas, it is obvious that everyone is not celebrating the same thing. So I ask you this morning, what are you celebrating this Christmas? What are you celebrating? Now, if you're not celebrating Christmas, that's fine. I want to be clear. Scripture has not instructed us and given us instructions that we must pay special attention to the birth of Christ. In fact, in many ways, I think it is a weakness of Christians that we hold tightly to our Christmas traditions more tightly than we do to the things that God has commanded us. But nonetheless, many of us will be celebrating Christmas. And so, what are you celebrating this Christmas? The title of this message is The Realities of Christmas. My desire this morning is to point you to some of the truths of Scripture surrounding the birth of Christ. And I pray that as we look at these truths, that our worship and our celebrating will be focused where it should be. Not on fairy tales, not on made-up stories, not on all the presents that you may or may not receive, but focused on the glorious realities of Christ coming to earth. And these realities are truly glorious. You know, John mentioned last week, this is nothing new to us. Everything that I plan to say this morning about the birth of Christ, you have already heard. None of it's new. But the problem is, with things that we're so familiar with, we know it's true. And so we tend not to think a lot about it. We tend to not focus on it. We tend to not be in awe of what God has done when we become so familiar with what He is doing. It is truly amazing that the Son of God would be born a baby in Bethlehem. That's amazing. Truly amazing. So this Christmas, let me give you four realities worth celebrating. This is the outline. Number one, God provides. God provides. Number two, God's faithfulness. This is the reality. God is faithful. Number three, God's power. God's power. And number four, God's protection. These are real. These are not made up. This is real. This is the reality of Christmas. So number one, God provides. One thing that we see clearly in Scripture is that God provides. We've all experienced this. We see this clearly in Scripture. The Israelites are a great example, as John has gone through in Exodus. We see clearly the Israelites are thirsty, and God provides drink. They're hungry, and God provides food. God is the great provider. And so here, in sending Jesus to earth, we see that God is providing for our greatest need. You see, food and water we do need, but not like we need a Savior. Unlike popular opinion, man is not basically good. We desperately need a Savior. Listen to man's condition described here in Ephesians 2. This is 1 through 3. "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived, in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." Man is not basically good. You see, we were dead in our sins. We were separated from God without hope of saving ourselves. But God sent Jesus. God provided for our greatest need. He sent a Savior. God provided salvation through Jesus Christ. Matthew 1:21, "And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins." God provides. Luke 2:11, "For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Praise God. We deserve his wrath. He gave us his Son. We deserve eternal punishment. He sent us a Savior. Oh, what reasons we have to celebrate. Praise God. When God sent Jesus to earth, he sent us salvation. This is the reality of Christmas. John 3:16-17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him." Praise God. He has provided salvation for us in sending us his Son. So the first reason to celebrate the birth of baby Jesus, the first reality of Christmas, is that with the coming of Jesus comes salvation. Praise God. God provides. Number two is God's faithfulness. We see here the faithfulness of God. When God says he will do something, he does it. God is faithful. We not only have reason to celebrate the birth of Christ because in him we have a Savior, but also rejoice and celebrate because we see here the faithfulness of God in Jesus coming to earth. Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." Isaiah 9:6-7, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." So God said he would send this baby, and he did. So when we think about the birth of Christ, don't forget to realize and to think about the faithfulness of God. He said he would send Jesus, and he sent Jesus to us. God does not lie. He is faithful. He sent us baby Jesus, just like he said he would. So we see in the birth of Christ God's faithfulness. Again, this is the reality. I'm not making this up. The realities of Christmas. Number three, God's power. Certainly we know that God is all-powerful. We know that God can do many things that are impossible for us to do. We think of him creating the world, him parting the Red Sea. The list goes on and on. The amazing miracles that God has done. But because we already know, because we're so familiar with how powerful God is, sometimes we're just not in awe of the powerful things he does like we should be. But all throughout these historical accounts of the birth of Jesus, we see the amazing power of God on display. Angels. Numerous times, angels were appearing to people, telling them what role they would play or what role their child would play in the birth of Christ. The angel appeared to Zacharias, to Mary, Joseph, to the shepherds. This is an amazing thing for an angel to appear to you. Oftentimes it was so amazing it was downright terrifying. You remember for the shepherds in Luke 2:9, an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them and the glory of the Lord shone around them and they were terribly frightened. These angels appearing and bringing messages and instructions from God is an amazing display of God's power. Also, the virgin birth. We see the power of God in a virgin birth. Mary was a virgin. A virgin is a person who has never had sexual relations. And that was Mary. She was unmarried. She had never committed infidelity. So she had never had sexual relations with a man. Now we all know that God has created the human body so that a woman cannot get pregnant without a man. It is impossible. But by the power of God, Mary, the virgin, became pregnant and gave birth to a baby, baby Jesus. Mary was a virgin when Christ was conceived in her. And we read at the end of Matthew chapter 1 that even after they were married, Joseph kept her a virgin until after Jesus was born. You see, this was a miracle. This was not a premature baby from Joseph. This was a miracle. Mary was a virgin when the baby Jesus was conceived in her. And Mary was a virgin when she gave birth to baby Jesus. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 1. Starting in verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." This is a miracle. I mean, this is impossible. Yet, by the power of God, we see that nothing is impossible with God. Not even a virgin getting pregnant and giving birth to a baby. We also see the power of God in the fact that God Himself, second person in the Trinity, took on flesh. He became human. He was born into the very world that He created. This is amazing. Not only that God could become a man, but that He would become a man. That He, being God, would humble Himself and become a man. Philippians 2, 6 and 8, 6 through 8, describing Jesus, says this, "Who, although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." So in all of these miracles surrounding the birth of Jesus, in the angels appearing, in the virgin birth, in God becoming human, We need to recognize these are absolutely impossible if not for the power of God. We see God's power. May we be in awe of Him and praise Him. He is all powerful. All of these miracles, these are true. These are the realities of Christmas. Number four, God's protection. All throughout Scripture we see God protects. And we see here God's protection. He protects here in numerous ways. First of all, He protected Joseph from making a big mistake. You know, when he found out that Mary was pregnant and he planned to end their relationship. And yet, God protected their relationship. He sent an angel in Joseph's dream to clear up the misunderstanding, to protect their relationship. And then, we didn't read it, but if you read on, you would see God protecting baby Jesus from King Herod, who wanted to kill him. He was searching for the child to destroy him. And yet God protected him. God warned different people at different times in order to protect baby Jesus. So here again, the realities. God protects. There is no protection like God's protection. So in conclusion, as we continue celebrating this Christmas season, I hope that this has been a blessing to you. A good reminder, reminding you of the realities of Christmas. The story of Jesus' birth is truly an amazing story. But it isn't just a story. You see, unlike the fantasy fairy tales, this is all true. This is the reality. Isn't it glorious? We see God's provision in providing a Savior. We see God's faithfulness in keeping His Word and fulfilling the prophecies in Christ. We see God's power in angel appearances, the Virgin Mary giving birth, and God becoming human. And we see God's protection. How He protected Mary and Joseph and protected baby Jesus from Herod. These are the realities of Christmas. This is the God we serve. No, we absolutely do not deserve it. But this is the reality. We have been blessed abundantly. So what are you going to celebrate this Christmas? I trust you'll celebrate the truth, that you'll celebrate the realities of Christmas. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. Please pray with me. Oh Lord, we are so undeserving of this great gift You have given us. What a gift. Lord, we are sinful people. We are desperately in need of a Savior, and a Savior You have sent. praise you. Thank you, Lord. What a blessing. Lord, we thank you for sending Jesus to earth. Lord, we pray that as we go through another holiday season, Lord, that we would be focused on the truth, on reality. And that we would be so grateful for the great gift that you have given in sending us your Son. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.